Lists from there, the Bronze Medalist from the 50-kilometer walk, as our big guest, Mr. Evan Dunphy. Evan, you finally made it home and safe and sound. Your medals in tow. Does it take a few days to kind of unwind and just to think about what has happened in your life, not just the last 2 weeks, but since the last Olympics 5 years ago?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, thanks for having me on. First of all, certainly it's. I mean, I think part of the unwinding is the jet lag, so I'm still trying to figure out what time it is over here on the West Coast. But, you know, the best part is, like, I'm not the best person in the world at celebrating myself. So to be able to come home and have my family and my partner and a bunch of my friends meet me at the airport and help me celebrate was really cool, because I sometimes miss the mark on that on my own. So certainly I'm glad to be home and surrounded by people who can help me sort of make the most of this this time now.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that maybe your lack of celebration for yourself. Do you think that's why do you think that is? Could it be that you work so hard and it's relief to get the medal rather than celebration, or is that a little bit off the mark?
No, I think that's spot on. I think, you know, the couple of days after the race, the biggest feeling I would have when people are saying, "Oh, how do you feel? How do you feel?" And I was like, I feel content. You know, I've since the last Olympics, put over 20,000 kilometers of race walking into these legs and all towards that goal of, you know, winning that medal. And then to kind of, you know, what I kept saying to people was just, you know, I did the thing, you know, I set out to achieve the thing, and I did the thing. And now I just kind of feel that level of contentness of, okay, phew, like that's done, that's over. And now I think I can go into a little bit of celebration mode and start to enjoy it and share it. I think that's what's the most fun part about it, being able to now share it with the people I love.
Well, and I want to get off to the start of your career. Like, where does a young guy from Richmond, BC get the buzz or the bug to decide he's going to become a 50-kilometer walker? Where did that journey start for you?
You know, I was the shortest kid in the class, red curly hair, big Coke rim, thick glasses. I was that quintessential kid that you're picturing. And I wanted to be good at something. I wanted to be the best at something. I wanted to, you know, silence my bullies and prove to them that I could be good at a sport. And I started running. My elementary school had a popsicle stick run. Run a lap in the field, get a popsicle stick, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there's nothing to be thrown at my face that would break my glasses. So I quite enjoyed it and was quite good at the endurance thing. And a year later, just by complete happenstance, my brother tried race walking. And as the younger brother, I was like, if he can do it, it can't be very hard. And, you know, sure enough, won my first race and it was from there was like, yeah, I want to be a race walker. This is the thing I'm going to make my own.
Evan Dunphy joins us from BC, a bronze medal winner in the 50-kilometer walk. Very proud of our Canadians and how they did over there. Evan, you know, is there something about your body? Like, is you look very lean when I saw you on TV and I've seen pictures of you. Is it that? Like, what makes you so solid and so strong at this event?
It really just comes down to the work put in. You know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers, as I mentioned, that go into getting to that level. And there's also the mental side of it. 50K is a long way to go, especially when you're walking in 2 kilometer circles. And so, you know, having that mental game on point and just being able to deal with the stresses that come with training as an elite athlete. I think there's so much parallel between, whether it's a hockey player, a football player, a swimmer, or a race walker. You know, there are a lot of parallels there that, more similarities and differences, I'd say, in how you prepare your body. And then for me, it's also just being fueled by bucket loads of craft dinner.
Let's talk about that. Your body is fueled by craft dinner. And I think, is that unique amongst your competitors and other Olympians?
No, you know, that's the one thing at the Olympics. You know, so many of us were poor university students at one point in our life. So we all have good craft dinner stories, I think. But, you know, for me, just if the engine's hot enough, you can burn anything. And you need a lot of carbs when you're training 200 kilometers a week. And, I'm so lucky that I have that great support and great sponsor and craft dinner helping me out, fueling me this year.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
you know, I'm a traditionalist. I just go with the, you know, the original, some hot dogs on the side. It's just, it's the classic. It's the nostalgia for me.
Do you put ketchup on it?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Right on there. See, there we have a big debate on this show about who likes ketchup. I don't like put it on there, but I can see why people would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more sugar, right? That's just adding more carbs on there.
I love it. I love it. Joined by Evan Dunphy, bronze medal winner in our 50 kilometer, or in the Tokyo Olympics 50 kilometer race. Now, when you're training for the walk, do you ever run just to get a little bit extra or different type of cardio, or is it strictly you're always walking?
It's pretty much 100% race walking this year. I'll do a little bit of running in my off season, just for quote unquote fun. You know, just something different to do. So, usually plan to do like a half marathon every fall when I'm in my sort of off season and just try to see how fast I can go. So I've run a sub 110 half marathon. And I once I ticked that goal off the bucket list, I was like, okay, I don't need to run anymore. You know, I did that. Running hurts. I don't like it, so I don't have to do it anymore. So I think we'll stick to purely race walking. I'll run for the bus if I need to, but other than that, it's mostly race walking.
I love it. Now, you know, when you are training and when you're competing, what is the most? Is there like a repeated injury that athletes get from walking?
Yeah, one of the cool things about race walking is that it's lower impact. It's a lot lower impact than running. So you don't have the same overuse injuries. A lot of runners, marathon runners, will have dealt with stress fractures and stuff like that. And we don't have to deal with that as much, which is awesome. But certainly the most prominent injury, I'd say, amongst race walkers is like upper hamstring tears. So you're putting a lot of stress under your hamstrings and a lot less of your big muscles. Like when you're running, you're using a lot of your big glute muscles, your big hamstring muscles, your calves. Race walking is a lot more of your stabilizing smaller muscles, and they wear out a little bit easier. So, you know, certainly have a good strength program, a great strength coach, and keep those things under check. And then, you know, just the repetitive nature of doing it thousands and thousands of times.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. As Evan Dunphy joins us, a race walking bronze medal winner for the 50 kilometers at Tokyo Olympics. Evan, take us now to the conditions in Tokyo of the morning. It was an early morning start. I know, I'm guessing it was really warm, but how did you prepare? Like, when does your preparation start for the race? Obviously, you know, a day or two before, like just to get you motion ready for that.
Yeah, so we were actually racing up in Sapporo. So back in the end of 2019, the International Olympic Committee moved the race walks and the marathons up to Sapporo because they were a bit too scared of the heat, which isn't good for me. I love the heat. I love competing in treacherous conditions. So I was a little bit upset, but then on race day, it turned out to be the exact same temperature in Sapporo as it was in Tokyo. So it was scorching hot. It was humid. It was fantastic. I that was everything I was hoping for. So, you know, our big preparation starts about 2 weeks beforehand. That's when we start getting our heat prep in and getting used to getting our body acclimatized to that heat. And then on race day, the biggest thing is just lowering your core temperature. So I'll get into an ice bath before the race, lower my core temperature, just give myself every degree possible to heat up. Cause you know, that's all you're doing when you're performing endurance exercise or anything like that. You're just driving that body. You're fueling the body. You're getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And when you're competing in the heat, that end point where you get too hot is way too soon. So, for us, it was just trying to get as cool as possible, go into that race with the biggest buffer to when I would start overheating, and we did a fantastic job of that.
So when you're in your race, and if you feel that you are starting to overheat, is it like a car and you've got to, do you have to pull back? Like, do you have to say, okay, I got to slow down my steps per minute or something so I can get it back out of the red zone?
Yeah, certainly. So if you catch it early on, you can kind of manage it by taking your foot off the accelerator a little bit. And you know, we're lucky enough, we have cold water all around the race course that we can pour on ourselves to cool us down as well. But if you push it beyond a certain point, your body just completely shuts down. So you have like an internal switch that if your core temperature gets over that sort of critical temperature, everything just kind of like shuts off. And that's your heat stroke that, you know, people are probably familiar with, where your body kind of starts to feel cold and you just stop being able to go at all. So you really have to be in tune with what your body's doing so you don't get to that point.
Evan, a lot of questions coming in on our text line at 10-12-60. The questions are all start. You know, this is probably a dumb question, but what do they do for washrooms on the 50-kilometer route?
Yeah, so because we race on a 2K loop, we're lucky that we do have a toilet on the race course. So you'll occasionally get guys who will pop in there for a little comfort break. But depending on what it is, if it's just number one, you just kind of go as you're moving. A lot of athletes will do that. You're pouring enough water on yourself that you wouldn't even notice it. And I know it's not the most graceful thing in the world, but it comes sort of with the territory of consuming 4 liters of liquid and over 4 hours.
Evan, I wanted to ask you about something that we saw come up over the weekend at the Olympics. This is Connor Halley here, by the way. One of the French marathon runners, as he was running past the table of water, he knocked over the entire row, and then he grabbed the last one for himself, preventing the guys behind him, from hydrating. Now, is that a marathon thing only, or would a walker do that?
We've certainly seen that happen in race walking, but... The better image that came out of the 50K race walk was you could actually see a sharing bottle. So if an athlete couldn't get to the drinks table in time, you're walking in a tight pack, there was actually athletes that would just grab a couple bottles, turn around, say, who wants it? Like, it is, you're competing against each other, but you want to beat your competitors by, being better than them on the day, not by, taking away something from their performance. So it was really cool to see that you have athletes from all over the world just saying, hey, look, here, you didn't get this bottle, here, take this one, and if I miss one on the next lap, I know you'll do the same for me.
And one more for me. I saw, on TikTok, there's videos of what it's like in the athlete's village and all the free stuff that's handed out and, you can go and grab. Was there anything that you were targeting? Because I saw, like Coca-Cola was there for free. I'd personally be all over that.
Yeah, so I mean, I actually drink Coke in my race. I flatten it out. It's flat Coke, so it's not as appealing, but it's still... it's high sugar. It's great for endurance performance. So it's actually part of my race nutrition. But certainly, I mean, it's so much fun. I was able to get back to the athlete village from Sapporo, get down to Tokyo for 2 nights for the medal ceremony. It was just so great to be able to be in that village and to see my teammates. I think that was probably the biggest thing, to see some of my Team Canada teammates get to celebrate with the soccer ladies and just take some photos of them because I'm super inspired by them. And then just hit up the store and buy some little trinkets and spend way too much money on gifts for family and friends.
Evan Dunphy joined us, a bronze medal winner in the race walk at Tokyo Olympics 2020. Evan, is it difficult to keep track of who's done how many laps? You got to do 25 laps, and is it hard to kind of recognize, okay, I'm in front of him or I'm behind him or whatever the case is?
Not really. Some athletes find that, but I certainly think it's. I love the time math. I'm always thinking about my paces and where I'm at. So, time math, split math, all that pacing stuff. It's ingrained into my head. So you can pretty much give me a time, an hour and a minute, and I can tell you what kilometer I'd be around. But certainly, some athletes who don't have that. That knack, find it a bit tough.
Now, you've got a bronze medal. You finished fourth last time. What is the plan now? Is there another Olympics in your future? Are you looking towards a different challenge? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so steadfast on our world championships are in Eugene next year. So that's kind of my main target. It'll be like a home world championships for me here in Richmond. I'm hoping to get a ton of friends and family down to watch that. And then beyond that, I don't know yet. I my biggest thing is just finding ways to be valuable in my community and have a positive impact. So whatever that looks like, that'll be the goal. So if that's continuing to race walk at the Olympic level, maybe I'll keep doing that. If it's running for city council, I'll do that. If it's volunteering with my local kids sport chapter, I'll be doing that too. So just whatever it is that can create positive value in my community, that's what the goal is now.
So, looking ahead to those world championships, do you need how much time do you have to kind of come down from this great high, or do you need that time, or do you start ramping up? Like, is it all mapped out already, or how does that work with you and your coach and your plan for being your peak at that time?
Yeah, so nothing planned right now. Just taking it all in and sort of, you know, enjoying the moment. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll sit down and we'll start mapping out what the next 11 months look like to get us back on the podium in Eugene.
Now, just one last one for you. A lot of these texts coming in, Evan Dunphy joined us, Olympic bronze medal winner, and they're a 50-kilometer race walk. How was this Olympics different with the pandemic than the prior one you attended?
Certainly having, you know, the restrictions, not being able to go and interact with the city that you were staying in was tough. More so tough just because I know what it took away for Tokyo. You know, it was tough being there knowing that we weren't providing the same value back to the city as we normally try to do. And one of the things I love about my event is that it's a free event. Anyone can come out and watch it. You don't need to have thousands of dollars to make it into the stadium with you and your family. You can just come up, rock up the side of the road and watch the Olympics. And so we weren't able to have as many people come out and experience that as would have been as I, you know, obviously would like. So that was probably the toughest part, was just acknowledging that Tokyo was getting less out of it this time around than would have been ideal, and being left with a really big bill that's harder and harder to justify.
Mm-hmm. Evan, I got to tell you, your race was impressive, and but you're even more impressive as a person, the way you see the world and how you want to contribute. So, you know, thanks for giving us a medal, but, you know, thank you for what you're doing in BC and across the country. It sounds like you've got it all figured out. So best of luck, and, you know, I hope you get to continue pounding Coke and KD to fuel your Olympic dreams.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it.